This is the Jason Greger Show podcast presented by Lakewood Chevrolet. Good people, great service, and also voted the number one dealer in Canada at DealerRater.ca. Check them out, LakewoodChev.com. St. Louis Blues, the deal that was talked about for a long time, finally came to fruition last night. Kevin Shattenkirk is now in Washington. Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, been quite the turnaround for the Blues. You know, they went to the conference final last year. Now there's no Backes. Now there's no Shattenkirk. Fabry, unfortunately, due to injury, is done. Are the Blues good enough to win a round of the playoffs this year?
Well, I think they are. I mean, if you watch them play, I mean, they won six in a row. I know they've lost three straight since, but that was a pretty competitive game against the Chicago Blackhawks. You look at the core of the team. You look at their defense. You look at their goaltender. I still think they're capable of winning a round. Now, a lot of that depends on who the matchup is, Jason, as we know. But, you know, this is not a team that, when you look at it on paper, that you would say, wow, this is not a very good hockey team. They got a bunch of good players, but obviously a lot of things have to come together at the right time. And they got to stay healthy. You know, we'll see what happens between now and the deadline tomorrow. If they add anybody, they've got, you know, one other unrestricted free agent, Scotty Upshaw. There could be some movement there. We'll find out if that comes into play. But to answer your question, sure, I think they could win a round.
Now, looking at the Blues, they're definitely not in a rebuild mode, far from it. But do you sense it's kind of like a retool? Because they were, the last 5 years, no one had more wins in the regular season than the St. Louis Blues. It's unbelievable. But, you know, they didn't get their Stanley Cup final. They had the one conference final. Do you see that? Do you sense a little bit of a moving out some pieces and then hopefully filling them with other good players? Is that the plan you're sensing in St. Louis?
Well, they're retooling for sure. You look at some of the contracts Doug Armstrong has signed in recent years, and most of these guys are young players, guys like Jaden Schwartz, Alex Pietrangelo. You know, you look at a young guy like Colton Parayko, who's here, you know, Robbie Fabry, who's coming to the fold after playing just 1 year of junior hockey, which is relatively unusual for a young first-round pick who was drafted somewhere in the 20s to just play 1 year of junior hockey and find his way in the National Hockey League. It doesn't happen all the time. You know, Patrick Berglund signed the contract extension. You know, most of the guys who have got contract extensions have been younger players, and a number of the older players have been moving out, whether it's Troy Brouwer, whether it's David Backes, Brian Elliott, who's moved on. You know, in the case of Kevin Shattenkirk, really it comes down to this being a business decision. I think they had a lot of interest in keeping Shattenkirk. If you look at the role that he plays in this hockey club, Jason, he's pretty much been a third-pair guy. He's only played 20 or more minutes in a game once in his previous nine, kind of become a third-pair defenseman who's a power play specialist. He's a very good one. I think he's a top-five power play QB in the National Hockey League. But you're not going to pay a third-pair defenseman who plays less than 20 minutes, isn't heavily involved in the PK, you know, $6.5-7 million per year. That's just not going to happen. So they obviously shopped him for quite some time, and they decided to move him yesterday.
How good is Shattenkirk, Andy? Like, I know from the blue line in the offensive zone, he's top three in the NHLs for defensemen. But his overall game, where do you rank him? Where do you think he'll help Washington? Where do you see him? Is he a second pair guy at even strength?
Well, as an offensive defenseman, he does it differently than guys like Brent Burns and Eric Carlson and P.K. Subban. You know, even Shea Weber, who's got the big bomb. I mean, he doesn't do it with his legs the way those other guys do it. He does it with his smart, very smart player. You know, he can jump into the play. You know, he's got a very good shot, not a hard shot, but it hardly ever gets blocked. He gets it through very consistently. He's a great passer, makes a great first pass. He's obviously a very good puck distributor on the power play. I think he's in a very similar situation in Washington that he was in here, to be honest with you. You know, he was playing behind a pretty stacked right side with Alex Pietrangelo and Colton Parayko. And in Washington, I'm not so sure he's going to play ahead of John Carlson or Matt Niskanen 5-on-5. So, you know, he's going to get an opportunity to quarterback a power play and be on the number one unit in Washington, just like he was here. But 5-on-5, I think he's going to be in a much similar situation that he was here.
Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, I noticed that Nail Yakupov, healthy scratch again. Magnus Poljarvi in their second line for them. Is Yakupov just not worked out under Hitchcock or Mike Yeo? How do you see it?
Well, they've tried it, and they've tried him with a number of different players. Listen, Yakupov's one of the more impressive practice players I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you. I mean, you watch this guy practice, you're like, wow, this guy is incredible. Just the way he skates, his quickness, his ability to shoot the puck is as good as anybody you've seen. But in the games, it just doesn't translate. You know, when the temperature is turned up, when there's real competition, when there's physical play involved, you know, he just hasn't shown that ability to be a threat offensively or to be responsible from a structural standpoint. I shouldn't say responsible. Maybe that's not a good word. But he's not an elite. He's not one of those guys who you can just plug in on the third or fourth line, and he's a safe player to plug in there, Jason, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So if he's not going to give you that high-end offense, then it's tough to find a home for a guy like Neil Yakupov, you know, and that's kind of what he's dealing with right now. And he's got to find a way to become a better all-around hockey player, and he works on that. You know, the coaching staff here raves about Neil Yakupov. He's one of my favorite players on the team just to talk to. I think he's got a great personality. I think he's got a great attitude. But it just hasn't been able to come together. Now, Ken Hitchcock is a pretty demanding coach. It's not an easy structural system to play in. And Mike Yeo is a very similar type of coach in terms of his, you know, how detailed he is. And it just hasn't worked out for Neil Yakupov up to this point. There's still some time, but at the end of the day, obviously, they were expecting more.
Andy, I know it's a busy day for you, so I appreciate you taking some time. Enjoy the game tonight and the playoff run.
Anytime, Jason. Appreciate it.